But let's go over now to Brian O'Neill and hear about ethanol from the two-wheel industry. Very interesting what he has to say.
All right, thank you, Bobby. As he mentioned, I'm an ASE certified service consultant and a card-carrying member of the Iron Order Motorcycle Club. So it's my great pleasure and, of course, an honor to share my experiences regarding ethanol with you today from both those perspectives. My experiences have been gleaned from the adventures at the service desk or on the side of the road or even in a buddy's garage on the weekends. So let's go ahead and start with talking about motorcycles and ethanol. See, it does work. Okay, so first we're going to talk about the natures of gasoline and ethanol, and then I will offer some perspective on the pieces, parts, and power of ethanol as it's related to motorcycles. And then, of course, I'll share some of my and my Iron Order brothers' experiences regarding ethanol. And then we'll go ahead and wrap with a message from the motorcycling community regarding fueling at the pump. So many people are referring to gasoline as E0, pure gasoline. I know that's a term that gets thrown around when bikers get together at, excuse me, goodness, and they're talking about their bikes and maintenance and upkeep and things like that. Now, the truth is, gasoline is far from pure, and it contains several compounds to make up what we use today. In fact, gasoline is a cocktail of volatile compounds that will burn at varying temperatures. Now, when the more volatile compounds evaporate, it leaves the rest behind. In the short term, this means that gasoline is harder to ignite, and it can cause some rough run problems. In the longer term, when most of the compounds have evaporated, it can mean that a varnish is left behind in places like fuel bowls. This breakdown or souring of gasoline is the reason that fuel stabilizers were developed as early as the 1960s. They basically help keep that cocktail together longer. And really, it had nothing to do with ethanol, as ethanol wasn't even in the fuel supply at that time. Now, on the other hand, a molecule of E100, or pure ethanol, is 35% oxygen, which speaks to its pure and clean-burning characteristics. And ethanol is so pure, of course, which we all know, that you can drink it if it hasn't been denatured. But that's not the message that's being put out there to bike riders and mechanics. Now, what's happening is naysayers are erroneously pointing out so-called problems with ethanol, using catchy terms like phase separation to cast ethanol in a negative light. And, of course, when we saw in his presentation, Dr. Randolph certainly set the record straight with regards to phase separation. But this is the kind of misinformation that's being spread throughout the motorcycle community, and it's causing distrust in a product that we've been using for years. So let's take a little perspective here about the pieces, parts, and power. Now, as far back as 1997, a study by Downstream Alternatives indicated that components provided by the aftermarket industry were compatible with ethanol-blended fuels. In fact, that study spoke to components on vehicles that were 10 to 15 years old at that time. And we're talking about the hoses and the gaskets and the seals common in fuel systems that are now nearly 30 years old. And the truth is, at that age, all those components have been replaced with new parts by now anyway. Of course, technology has come a long way, and you heard Brian West introduce that modern vehicles, including today's motorcycles, when operated in a closed-loop system, will run cooler with ethanol blends, which is a good thing, because lower combustion temperatures allow higher compression engines to produce more horsepower and produce more torque with fewer emissions. Now, speaking of modern vehicles, motorcycling manufacturers today recognize and approve E10 for use in their engines. For example, Harley-Davidson states in its owner's manual that fuel with up to 10% ethanol, E10, may be used without affecting vehicle performance or voiding the warranty. Similarly, Kawasaki states that gasoline containing up to 10% ethanol is approved for use in their motorcycles, Yamaha. Gasoline containing ethanol can be used if the ethanol content does not exceed 10%. Now, folks, this information is published right in the manufacturer's owner's manuals, and you can access those anytime. Now, so let me step from those owner's manuals and share a few personal experiences, and we'll talk about the owner's rides. Now, this one here, this is a picture of my dad on his bike. It was taken about 10 years ago. This was a 2002 Honda VTX. It was one of the early fuel-injected V-twin cruisers. He was on his bike every chance he got until he passed away in 2005. After he passed, my mother didn't really want anything to do with the bike, but she kept it parked in her garage, and she would start it maybe once a week until eventually, you know, it wouldn't start anymore. She didn't do anything to the bike as far as maintenance either, so by the time I got to it 3 years later to see if I could get it up and running, let's say that it definitely needed some attention. First things first, I drained the oil, which had some water in it due to condensation, changed the oil filter. Of course, I flushed out the coolant, which had started to turn colors on me. When I did have to replace the coolant temperature sensor because it had failed internally. Of course, then we got to the fuel system. Now, the guy that I was working with that was helping me get the bike running told me, he said, you know, I know what we're going to see. As soon as we open up the tank, it's going to be just covered in rust. So we were both standing there, and we popped the cap on the tank. Guess what? No rust. He was in for a big surprise. Now, we did actually see the souring, so the fuel had soured, and it had darkened on us. But you know what we didn't see? It's phase separation. There was no water and contaminants hanging out in the bottom of the tank or anything like that. So we just drained and washed out the tank, filled it with fresh fuel, and off we went. All right, this one here actually belonged to one of my club brothers. This is an older Harley. It's a 1995 Fat Boy. Now, he was afraid to ride it because a bad oil leak would soak his boot while he was going down the road, and it had a bad problem with a fuel leak from the carburetor. And his oil leak was from the crankcase, which is actually pretty common on those older Evo engines, but the fuel problem was a little bit harder to figure out. So recently, we opened up the carburetor and see what was going on. And, of course, what we found was an eroded needle and seat. And what was happening is that was allowing fuel to fill the bowl and then overfill so that it was running down the side of the carburetor and down the engine. Kind of dangerous and a little scary. But what we did find is all the components in the carburetor were original. Nobody had ever opened it up before that. Seals and gaskets were still intact, and even the little rubber diaphragm for the accelerator pump was still soft and pliable. Not exactly what people are telling you ethanol's doing to the rubbers and components inside of the engines there. Now, I knew it was going to be important, so when I was preparing for this presentation, I called up the brother that owned this bike, and I said, "Brother, where do you get your gas?" And he said, "Well, you know, basically, I'm kind of cheap, so I just stop wherever's closest when a tank hits reserve." Okay, now this one's mine, and it's kind of a proud papa moment there, but this is my current daily ride. This is a 2012 Victory Cross Country, 106 cubic inch, fuel injected, full fairing, radio cruise control. It's got everything that I need to go ahead and take these long weekend trips, whether it's down here from Pensacola where I live, or over to New Orleans, over to Atlanta, or even as far as Indiana for my club's annual international rally. Now, this bike now is just a little over a year old. It's got about 16,000 miles on it. It gets 47 to 48 miles per gallon, and as we say in the South, it runs like a scalded dog. Yeah, no, but you know what? It's never had anything but E10 in it from day one. Okay, so that was kind of fun. But let me talk a little bit more about the fueling at the pump situation. I'll admit, we bikers are a superstitious lot. So sometimes a few people repeating stories can actually become gospel pretty quickly, as a matter of fact. Anything from bells hung on our bike to keep the road gremlins at bay to rumors like, "Well, a buddy of mine was telling me about a guy that he knows that he was telling him that he swears by putting gun oil in with your engine oil in order to make the engine run cleaner." Fact is it doesn't matter if it's got no truth to it at all or if it's got a little glimmer of truth. You hear it from a guy that you've known for years, so you repeat it to someone you know, and they repeat it to someone else. Well, that's exactly what the ethanol naysayers are putting in the ears of the biker community. And that's what this panel is all about. We're setting the record straight regarding ethanol. So, with most air-cooled V-twins requiring a high-octane fuel, bikers are already used to looking for labels at the pump. I see it all the time on road trips with other bikers or with my club brothers. We roll up to the pump, we look for the 91, 93 octane, and we fill her up. It's pretty simple. Now, I promise you, I've never seen one of my club brothers standing there staring at the pump, scratching his head, trying to figure out, which button do I push? No. And as we make E15 available nationwide, we're not going to have an outbreak of bikers accidentally pumping the wrong stuff in their Electroglide. Now, you know, we're bikers, and I'll admit that we've been known to do some dumb things, but we're not stupid. As you saw in the advertisement earlier, we know what to pump. It's that simple, guys.
Huh.